place in individuals, starting with us. So we want that revival, that we are not doing anything that we know in our hearts is not right. And so we cannot be, you know, worshiping the food god. And so we have to make sure that that lust for the food has gone the way, you know, that we can still enjoy our food without lusting after it, obsessing about it, obsessing about our weight and about the way we look, and we throw the meaning of what God has, you know, given us rebirth about. We have to throw that to the, we're not the people of the world anymore. We don't do that anymore. And so, yes, so it might be something that really triggered inside of you. And I hope you get to share. So Joy is going to do the timing. And so it's 2 minutes, Joy. And Joy, you go first, and then Sherry, and then Maria. And again, when you hear Joy, just recognize, let her know that you have heard the 2 minute timing. But Joy, if you would go first. And actually, what I usually do, Joy, is have somebody have a time for you. If there's anyone who can do the 2 minute, Mary, can you do that? Since you have volunteered, can you just time Joy, and then Joy for, yeah, okay, and then Sherry, and then Maria, and then Demi. Go ahead, Joy. Is that Bridget? Okay, thank you, Bridget. I'll put you on. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Joy. And when you share that, it's the whole thing of well, two things. One is the identity, you know, that if I am identifying with Christ and he's kept in the forefront of my mind, that is my identity. I had an identity before, but now my identity is with Christ, and that has to stay in the forefront. Then all the other things are going to fall into place. Of course, if I'm thinking about Christ all the time, if I'm thinking that he's with me all the time and he's beside me all the time, I'm not want to do anything that's shameful. I don't want to dress in a shameful way. And I don't want to eat in a shameful way because he's right there beside me. I mean, you know, I might think that I'm in the kitchen by myself, but I'm not. You know, Christ is there beside me. He's with me every step of the way. So that's one thing. Keeping that identity will help those others, you know, straying in the other direction. But also, the fellowship of people and the leadership is also important. That, you know, that when the leader keeps bringing back home the importance of we are Christ's ambassadors. You know, we're Christ's ambassadors. We're not to look like the other people of the world. If we look like the people of the world, it's going to bring confusion to the people who are lost. And so we're not about trying to confuse people, that we are about trying to make them understand, you know, that this is the real deal. So the real deal has to show itself in who we are as his ambassadors. But I thank you for bringing that up. Thank you very, very much for that, Joy. Sherry, I have you next, and then Maria, and then Debbie. Sherry? Verse in, it's Psalm 36, and I think it's 3 through 7. Let's see, is it 36 or 37? I think it's 37, 3 through 6. And it says, you know, it's a part in there, and it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I remember thinking about that verse a lot and thinking about delight. Because when I first read that verse, it seemed so strange to me. How can I delight myself in the Lord? I know how to delight myself in food. I know how to delight myself in material stuff. But the Bible says, delight myself in the Lord. Learn to let him be my delight. And I find that the more I get to know him, the more I love him, and the more I do find delight in him. So that's why, you know, you mentioned the pages, you know, that when you are in the pages of the Bible, that your head gets turned around. That's why I have to stay in the pages. And that's why I'm grateful for people who also know the importance of doing that, and they model that for me. They tell me that. They talk about that. I have sponsees, shepherdees, you know, that are in the Word of God daily. They send me what they have gotten. I mean, sometimes I read what they have gotten. It's like, oh, you know, like that is wonderful, because it makes it home, back home to me again. You know, that we have the Spirit, and it's the Spirit who teaches us. And you also, you know, hit upon the whole thing about doubt and negativity. That's from the devil. And so whenever I realize I'm having any kind of doubt or any kind of negativity, I know it's from evil. But thank you so much. And that's why I know it's not anything that I have done. You know, the Bible says, not by righteous acts we had done, in Titus, it talks about that. And also in Ephesians, you know, it says we're saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And when I think about that searing, it has been seared on my heart, that these things are true and real. And they have groups of apologists, or the people who can defend, they can argue the faith or whatever. I'm not that, you know, because there's a lot I cannot even put into words. My mouth doesn't even go around on what I know in my heart about the Lord. But my life, I pray that it is driving my life. This is what I want. I want that kind of heart searing, that it drives my life. It drives me. That I have to go back and, you know, amend things that I do wrong. I had to do that. I was thinking between, I have two girls, all right, two daughters and two sons. And so one daughter had told me that her husband has gotten, and you know, there's a job hunter pursuing him, which would mean they would have to move out of the country if he takes that job. And so I had prayed about it, got a little distraught or whatever. And then I told the other sister, which is kind of like with a little God, I said, well, I'm just going to pray against that. You know, I told her that. And then I was by myself, and it was like, well, that sounds a little duplicity to me, you know, that you didn't say that to the other daughter. And so I eventually had to go back to the other daughter, both of them, and come clean. I can't be one way with the others and the other with the other. It's not that, you know, I wasn't going to pray against it or in it or whatever. It's how am I putting myself across? You know, that I'm going to be sneakily, you know, praying against it. If I think it's wrong, if God has put it in my heart, then I want to come right out and say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't pray this because it's very, I need to pray this. I can tell you that. But to actually kind of use a little, you know, deviousness. But my point is this, God did that for me. Boy, he would not let me rest. You know, he talked to me. That's how he is. I'm grateful that he convicts me. What kind of God would he be if he just allowed me to continue to do stuff that I know is wrong? I'm grateful for his conviction. But thank you so much. Thank you very much, Debbie. Don didn't really care. I can say that about teachers. You know, I can remember having teachers that, you know, we can talk out a test. We don't want no test. Don't give us no test. They're like, oh, yeah, okay, we won't. You know, they were so busy trying to be our buddy. I have teachers that, you know, it was more important for them to be the buddies of the kids than to, you know, to teach them something. And we would come out of those classes stupid. You know, because we never got tested. We were never, you know, pushed, and we didn't toe the line. And so, yeah, you know, God, he put people in authorities for a reason. And I find that too, you know, in terms of my children. I look back over my parenting over the years, and I realized that the times when I was poor in my parenting is when I feared the kids, you know, whether I feared they were going to have a tantrum and they were going to embarrass me, you know, and something like that, and I wouldn't do anything. I really look at parents now who are stronger than I was at that time. Boy, I see people, you know, in the grocery store, you know, and some kid is having some tantrum, they pick that kid up and take them out and I know they wear them out. You know what I mean? It's like, you are not going to, we're not getting away with this. We're not going to have this happen. It's like a matter of, you know, loving somebody so enough that we tell them the truth. We speak the truth in a loving way. And you're right. God is like that. Like I said, he certainly would not let me get away with, you know, duplicity, acting one way one place and another way. It doesn't work. He wants me to have purity of spirit, to be the same, to be like he is wherever I am. But thank you so much for what it says in 1 Peter 3, 1 to 4. It talks about women, and they say that, you know, that our beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes, but that, you know, of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, I know that when I can practice the gentleness of God and also practice that listening that you were, you know, referring to, that I don't want to move so quickly and so crazily through the day, that I'm not listening, that I'm missing the promptings that he tells me. He's always prompting us. And I'm always shocked. I mean, yesterday, it seemed like I had two times that the prompting of God was just so right on, it boggled my mind. One was, I can just think of one right now, but it was, I was sitting at my desk, and I was doing something else, and I realized I needed to take a break. And I kept thinking about a person at my church. And I said, well, when that happens, I know it's important for me to go ahead and call her. And so I'll call, and I don't call her very often. I think maybe one time I've called her. And I called her, and she says, I cannot believe it, you know. She's also in my Sunday school class, and I've been trying to encourage my Sunday school class to practice Bible immersion. We do that, you know, really getting into the Word of God and into the whole Word. And she says, I was sitting down, she says, and I was just writing and doing my Bible immersion. And she says, for you to call is like a verification. It encourages me. And I thought to myself, look at the Lord. The Lord does that. You know, that whenever, you know, people need encouragement, he'll provide it. And also, he will prompt us, all of us, to do things. But if we're so busy in our life, you know, that we won't be able to hear those promptings. And if we're in the food, forget the promptings, okay? If we're in the food becomes it. It has this all-consuming quality about it, because we worry about, you know, the way we feel after we eat the food, and then, of course, the way we look, being women, you know, wondering, you know, is it showing or, you know, whatever. But thank you so much. Thank you, Lisa. I have a place in my heart for you because you're a wonderful witness, because I remember, you know, at the beginning, and how, you know, you wanted to get abstinent, and you went to any length to get it in terms of the humility and the text. You know, you would send texts out to people, I remember, and you would be at work and something would be bothering you or whatever, and it was like, throw that pride aside. I am texting people. This is what I need. Can you guys pray for me? You know, and things like that. And that's what it takes, Tammy. It takes, you know, being small in the face of God, and taking what he tells us is going to help us. And we're put into the body of Christ to be of help to each other. You know, to have each other pray for us and things that we need to do. I still remember, you know, when I first started this ministry, that it was put on my heart very heavy how important it was to do Bible memory. I was reading the Bible, I was reading through the Bible, but I was not doing Bible memory. And every time I turned on the radio or something like that, it was about Bible memory. And I went, oh, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. But then I brought it to the group. I remember asking, please, pray for me that I will learn how to do Bible memory. And I realize that every need that I have, you know, is to make myself small and come and ask for what is needed. And the body of Christ praying in the name of Jesus Christ makes the difference. But thank you so much. Thank you very much, Tammy, for consistently, you know, consistency and consistently. Because I thought about that in terms of the Israelites. You know, whenever I'm in the Bible, I read about the Israelites, you know, always messing up, always messing up. And yet, in this particular reading that we did in Exodus 39, it said that they did all the work that Moses told them to do. They followed those directions. So it wasn't like they were losers all the time. They weren't losers to begin with. But what I'm saying is that in my flesh, I can think, oh, look at them. They never do anything right. But I thought about it. No, they did a lot of things right. They did a lot. But the key is continuance. How do I continue this, what God has shown me that I need to do? And I realize for me, a big part of continuance is remembrance, is remembering. And I believe that's why God set up those, you know, I was reading, I guess it was a few days ago, about the festival days. That must have been yesterday. And the festival days were pretty much not feasts, like I'm thinking about it. My main thing was the food. I was saying, oh, festival days. It's the remembrance of what God has done. And I need to be reminded again and again, what has he done? What has he taught me? What is he trying to teach me? How am I going to do this? How has he shown me to do this? And in the meantime, I have to keep in mind that there's a lot going on around me, but I have to keep my focus on who is he? Who am I in him? What has he taught me? And it gets easier, though, when there are other people around me who are also doing that, too. But thank you so much, Kate. Bridget, cracking the door open. And anytime I disregard what God has shown me that is going to help me, and I disregard it, it's almost like I'm walking over to that cage. The door is already closed, but I'm cracking it open a little. You know, just opening the cage door a little bit while the tiger is asleep. It doesn't look like he's going to do very much. You know, and there are many things that I have learned, you know, that can crack that door open. You know, one is not, you know, not being in the Word. Well, I'm in the Word, and that's one of the reasons. Not being in prayer. That's why I make the prayer such that I don't forget to do it. You know, I don't forget to eat, so I know that I have prayer before I eat. Whether it's praying, you know, right as I bow my head and say grace, or whether I actually do, you know, some serious little, you know, time of prayer, you know, to do that. And, you know, the same thing, you know, so I put things in place so that I don't forget to do those things. And it helps to keep that door of the cage closed. I mean, really slammed shut. So whenever I find myself not wanting to do something that God calls me to do, I pray for the willingness and strength to do it. And then I get to work trying to do it, you know, trying to, so it's like prayer and then some effort. And then if I have to pray some more and then some effort, like I told someone on the phone yesterday, I use the timer a lot. I have, my family laughs about my timers, but my timers help me, because if it's something that I know I need to do and I don't want to do it, I pray. And then I say, well, I'll work on it for 3 minutes. You know, I'll just work on it for 3 minutes. And then and I turn that timer on for 3 minutes. And I kid you not, most of the time, that's what I just needed to do. I just needed to get over that beginning inertia, which is making whatever it is that I need to do seem so hard, you know, or so distasteful. Just don't want to do it. And I realize it's the evil one afoot most of the time when it gets to that point. But thank you so much, Elaine. I'm grateful that you're on today. And Danielle, you're welcome. And Danielle, I have you as the last one. Danielle?